Well, happy Father's Day to all the dads. And as we celebrate this holiday, I want to talk today about the importance of fatherhood, not only in the earthly sense as in the parent-child relationship, but also in the heavenly sense. For those of us who are in Christ, we have a heavenly Father, and it's important to remember that as well. There may be some things that I say today that may not apply to you personally. If you're not a father, well, it may not really hit you, but there are truths that you should still cling to. Every truth that God brings forth is important for all of us to know, whether we're a dad or not. But I want to look at three groups of people today. And the first group I'd like to address is those of you who are dads, those of you who are fathers. There is much that we could say about being a father, because there's much in here. There's much in the Bible about what it means to be a godly father. But I want to focus on one question today for those of you who are dads, and that is this: are you a spiritual father? Are you a spiritual father? Now, when I say that word spiritual, I don't mean are you into yoga and burning incense and practicing mindless meditation, but are you a follower of Christ? And do you seek to live like Jesus? Do you want to be like Jesus? That's what I mean when I say that word spiritual. Now, when we consider earthly fathers, we find that there's a lot of commonalities between fathers who are spiritual, who know Christ, and fathers who don't know Christ, who we might call unspiritual. Because both may be great providers. They may work hard to provide food for their families and a roof over their heads. Both may be great teachers. They may teach their kid how to catch a baseball, or how to play an instrument, or how to change the oil. They may both be great disciplinarians. Here's the line, and don't cross it. If you do, these are the consequences. End of story, right? No counting to three, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is the way it is. They may both be great in the discipline area. They may also be great, be very faithful. They're at every ball game, they're at every school activity, they're always there for their kids. We may find that in both dads, whether they know Christ or whether they don't. But to the dads, something that you should pursue is this, is to be a spiritual dad. And there's two aspects I want to bring about today about being a spiritual dad. Number one is your own spiritual life. And number two is the spiritual life of your child or of your children. First off, let's begin with us as dads. Are we spiritual? Are we taking time out of our busy lives to get to know God better? How much of the Word of God are we reading? Are we taking in as food for our souls? How much are we praying? Are we seeking the face of God? Are we spiritual? As dads, we want our children to do what we say, right? It brings us joy when our children obey us. Well, guess what? We as children of God have a heavenly Father. And you know what? It brings us joy. It brings Him joy, us joy too, but brings Him joy when we do what He says, when it pleases Him. And so we ought to be crying out day and night, Abba, Father, what is your will for my life? How can I seek to please you with my life? Listen to the words of Paul in Ephesians 5, 8 through 10. He says to the church, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord." How do we know what pleases the Lord? Well, we find it right in here through the Word of God, through the Scriptures. Just a side note, when we talk about pleasing the Lord, it's important to know that it's in the relational sense, as God as our Heavenly Father and we are His children, not in the salvation sense. Because we need to know this, there is nothing we can do to please God when it comes to being saved. Nothing we can do. But once we are saved, once we know Christ, then there are things we can do to please God with our lives. And this is what Paul is referring to here. So to the dads, I ask you this, that you take inventory of your lives and ask yourself, am I really spiritual? Am I seeking God? Am I finding out what pleases the Lord? And am I seeking to live that out in my life? Well, not only should we be concerned about our own spiritual life, but as dads, and maybe future dads, you can take notes, we need to be concerned about the spiritual life of our child or of our children. We find some beautiful words from David as he speaks to his son Solomon in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. Let's look at that. David says, "And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever." Now, David here in this context knew that Solomon had a very big job ahead of him, a huge task. He was going to build the temple of God. It would require lots of time, years of work, lots of people, lots of energy. And yet, what was David's heart for Solomon? He wanted Solomon's motives to be pure, motives to be right. Not just that he was building a temple, but the heart behind the actions. You see, Solomon could have built that temple with a bad attitude. He could have built the temple, and when it was all done, he could have said, "Hey, would you look at that? What an awesome job I have done. Isn't this thing beautiful?" He could have patted himself on the back. Or while he was building the temple, he could have said, "You know what, this really stinks. I hate this. And why do I have to follow God's blueprint? Why do I have to do it just like God said? Why can't I do things a little different? Why can't the portico just be a little bit bigger?" He could have had bad motives, bad thoughts, evil thoughts all the while. And so David wanted Solomon to have a wholehearted devotion to God. The actions weren't enough. He wanted the heart to line up with the actions. He didn't want a half-hearted follower of God. And so to the dads, this is a great prayer that you can pray over your kids. Jot it down, highlight it in your Bibles. 1 Chronicles 28, 9. Fill in the name of your child. Oh, my child, that you would have a heart for God, a wholehearted devotion, that you'd seek the Lord. May this be our prayer as well. We want our kids, first and foremost, to know the Lord, to know Christ. The Apostle John once said this, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." Now, John there is likely speaking figuratively. He's likely talking about spiritual children that he had seen come to know Christ through his ministry. And it brought him great joy. But I believe if John had actual children, he would say the exact same thing. "I have no greater joy than to know, than to hear that my children are walking in the truths of God." Fathers, does that bring you joy? Is that a burning desire of yours to know that your kids are walking in the truth? It ought to be. It ought to be. How about you? Do you have that burning desire? We live in a world that puts so much emphasis on worldly success. We want our kids to be the superstar athlete. We want our kids to attend this prestigious college or to have this prestigious job or to make sure they make this much money or to be the next American Idol. Is that show over, by the way? I'm out of touch. Is that show all done? It's coming back? All right. So to be the next American Idol when it comes back, right? This is what we want our kids to be, so successful in the eyes of the world. And we come against it. There's much pressure even on our kids to be successful. We were at a banquet the other night for our eighth grade daughter, and they were asking the kids, "What are your goals for college?" I mean, I'm thinking back to when I was in eighth grade, and it's like, what's college, you know? And it's like, not even thinking. But now you've got kids who are all ready for Harvard Law School in eighth grade. And so there's so much pressure to be successful in the eyes of the world. But again, we may hoot and holler when our kids are successful. And don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong with that. When your kid hits a home run or strikes out somebody, you clap for them. That's good. But do we do more hooting and hollering when we see that they're spiritual, when we see that they're walking with the Lord? We should be even more excited about their spiritual life than their earthly life, than their worldly life. May we have the heart of David. Dads, may we have the heart of David, who wanted his boy to know God, to seek God, and to serve God with his life. The second group I want to address today is those who are children. And by children, I don't mean those of you who are under 18 years of age, but all of you who have a dad, all of you. We're told in the Ten Commandments that we're to honor our father and our mother, and there's no age limit for that. It's not like, well, now that I'm 18 or 25 or 30, I can stop honoring my parents. No, you're to continue to honor your parents for all your days. The way I want to think about today, a way that you can honor your father, if your father is still here, is to listen. That's the word of the day for those of us who have dads. Listen. Listen. We live in a day where we're quickly losing our ability to listen, aren't we? I said we live in a day where we're quickly losing our ability to listen. Why is that? Well, because number one, there's so much noise. There's so many distractions that we have in our day. And number two, our culture is becoming increasingly concerned with what they say, with what they speak. And so we've forgotten maybe to put our ears attentive. As someone has said, right, God has given us one mouth, but two ears, right, to listen. Especially in the day that we live in, when I think of social media. Because think about it, years ago, if you wanted to share your thoughts with someone, what would you do? You would have to go to them and actually talk to them, right? To be in their presence, to look in their eyes, and communicate your thoughts to them. And it was usually one-on-one. Maybe sometimes you had a couple people. But how often did you speak to a large crowd? Most of us never, right? Unless you're in a meeting or something like that where there's a lot of people. But now what's happened? Through social media, I can comment on a page. And guess what? There's a possibility that thousands of people are going to hear what I have to say. And so there's this culture of comment junkies, I call them, where they just want dozens of comments a day. Just they want to get their message out, get their word out. And we're so consumed with letting our voice be heard that maybe we just need to sit back, be quiet, and stop commenting and just open our ears and start listening. And not just listening in general, but for those of you who have dads, to listen to your dads. Listen to your dad. Listen to what Proverbs 23 says about listening to your dad. Listen now. 22 through 25 says, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom, discipline, and understanding. The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. May your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice." As we read these words, we need to keep this in mind, that there is no such thing as a perfect earthly father. I know that as a dad, I have done things, I have said things that are not good, that they're not God-pleasing. I've failed in the area of fatherhood. But still, as a general rule, we who are kids ought to listen to our dads. We ought to take in what they have to say, and it doesn't matter how old they are. I'm 50 years old, and my dad is 81. But guess what? I still need to listen when he speaks to me, when he says something to me. My dad has 19 grandchildren. I have zero. I don't know, is there any news you guys want to share? Just kidding. But guess what? You think my dad may know a few things more than I do about being a grandpa, yeah, I think it might be good maybe to listen to my dad in that area. It's good to listen. And the listening that is spoken of here is not just where we say, okay, yeah, dad, I hear you, right? Remember that? I hear you, and then we go do our own thing. But it's a submissive listening. It's a humble listening. It's the idea of being meek. Meek is a willingness to yield to another, to submit to another. This is the idea when our dad speaks. We listen, we're willing to take it in and actually do what he says. Again, we always keep in mind that if our dad ever says something that goes against the word of God, well, that's a different story. But as a general rule, there ought to be a submissiveness to the words of our fathers. Well, the final group I want to address today is those of you who have trusted in Christ. You're a believer in Jesus. You have a heavenly Father. You need to know that. Listen to what Jesus says about our Father in heaven in Matthew chapter 5, 43 through 48. He says, "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Some have said that God doesn't expect you to be perfect. But that's not what Jesus said, right? Jesus commanded his disciples to be perfect. Now, does Jesus know that they aren't perfect and they never will be perfect this side of glory? Yes, he knows that. But he doesn't lower the bar, does he? He says, "I want you to be just like your heavenly Father. He's a perfect Father." And the main way Jesus speaks about his heavenly Father is how? Through the way the Father loves us. The way the Father loves us. How does he love us? Well, you heard it this morning in our scripture reading out of Romans chapter 5. "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And it goes on to say that while we were enemies of God, while we were rebels, while we were in an unlovely state, God chose to love us anyway. That is the call upon our lives as believers, to love in that same manner. If we simply love those who are nice to us and kind to us and do everything we want, we're no different than the pagans, Jesus said. Unbelievers can love like that. But the love of God goes much deeper. It's loving those who hate you, loving those who have wronged you, loving those who you consider, quote, your enemies. That's the love of God that we are to display. Let me ask you, are there people in your life that maybe you see as quote, unlovely? And you say, you know, I could just never love that person because of what they've done, because of what they've said. They need to earn my love. If so, please read Romans 5 over and over again until in your mind you understand the love of God in your life. Look at yourself in the mirror and say these words: "I was an enemy of God, and he still loved me. Because of my sin, that's why I was an enemy of God. Because there's nothing lovely about sin, and yet God still chose to love me." Is there someone in your life that you may have trouble loving? Could be that homeless man that you see on the street corner. Maybe you judge him and say, you know what, if he just get his act together, if he put that brown bag down and get a job, then I would begin to love that man. Maybe it's someone that is popular in our culture that we hear about all the time. Maybe Bill Cosby, President Trump, Hillary Clinton. I go on and on and list all the names of popular people. Do you have trouble loving them? Maybe it's someone even closer. Maybe it's a neighbor or a coworker. Maybe someone even closer than that. Maybe someone even in your own family that you say, I just can't love that person. You see, it's not just celebrities and politicians who need Jesus, but also our neighbors and coworkers and those within our own family too. And if they don't see the love of Christ in us, where will they see it? Listen to the words of Paul in Ephesians 5, our final scripture for today. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Paul says this, be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. God makes it very clear that we are to imitate him in this area of love. And again, when we want to know what love is, we go back to how God loved us as sinners, as rebels, as those who opposed him. We're to love in that same way. Jesus would make it very clear when he said that we're to love God. The greatest commandment is to love God with everything we have. And number two is to do what? Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. The best way that we can honor our Heavenly Father is really to love one another. May God help us to do that. The final group, not on your notes, but the final group I want to talk to today is those of you who may be an unbeliever. Maybe you've never trusted in Christ. I pray that today would be the day that you turn to Christ, that you see your need of a Savior, that you know in your heart that there's nothing you can do to earn the love of God. Many people spend their whole life coming to church, giving money, doing good deeds, thinking that all those things will appease the wrath of God. God will accept them because of what we do, and that is such a lie from the devil. Amen. Because the only way we can appease the wrath of God is to trust in Jesus, the Son of God, who bore the wrath of God in our place. And so today, if you've never come to Christ, then would you yield your heart to Jesus? Would you give your life to Jesus, who loved you enough to die for you, to give you life, to cleanse you of all of your sins, to wash them all away, to give you a new slate and a new life? He came to do that for you if you would just humble yourself and follow his plan and trust in him in regards to salvation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. First of all, for you, God, you are our perfect Father. Lord, thank you for being such a gracious Father to us. Lord, for forgiving us every day, forgiving us more than we need. God, for always running to us when we're like that prodigal son. You want to throw us a party when we repent and come to you. And Lord, we still feel guilt and all those things, and yet you just want to clean the slate. You want the relationship to be good. And so, God, thank you for your amazing love, your amazing grace. And God, we thank you, too, for our earthly dads who aren't perfect. But yet, God, you give them to us as a model, as just a way to really see you in so many ways. God, bless all the dads today. May they just enjoy their family today. May they just know that there's great joy in you. And Father, today, if there's anyone here who has never repented of their sins and come to Christ, that today would be the day that they turn to you, Father. Just as a little child would come to their father, they would come to you by faith through the blood of Christ. Lord, that you'd welcome them home. God, we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.